in our contemporary day. It was written in our day, but not in the feel of it. And just a beautiful song, and it has some great, great words. If you look up that, how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure. What a wonderful song that is. So I appreciated that very much. Joshua chapter 24, if you would, please stand if you would. And we'll be in Joshua 24. You'll know the verse. You'll see it on placards or around the houses around Temecula. You might have it on your house, a placard with this verse on it that we'll focus on tonight. And we won't read the entire chapter, but we'll kind of poke our way all the way through it. Joshua 24. And we'll start in just verse number one, set up the chapter, and then pull out two or three verses at a time throughout the remainder of the chapter and go all the way through it that way. But Joshua chapter 24. Appreciated the orchestra tonight, too. That sounded good, man. Brother Freddie, is that you? Hey, brother. No. Sammy? Stephen? Stephen. Okay, Brother Stephen. Good to have you. We had saxophones galore over here. I mean, we had three saxophones. You only need one in a full orchestra, and we had three in ours. That's good, man. I appreciated that. Thank you very much. That was awesome. Okay, Joshua chapter 24, the first couple of verses here. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel. So this is the last chapter of the book. This is near the end of his life. By the end of this chapter, Joshua is dead. So we got to get his last words out of him here. Joshua 24, verse 1. So he gathers everybody, or at least representatives of all the tribes of Israel, to Shechem and calls for the elders of Israel and for the heads, judges, and officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And then he goes on and recounts all the things that God did for them in changing them. And Israel's history, he recounts to them and saying, look at all the things God has done in our history. And then verse 13, skip on down to that. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor. Remember God telling you this? I've given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, and of the vineyards and oliveyards which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now therefore, Joshua says, since God has done all these things for us, now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, like you just don't want to do that, then choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And basically says, no kidding? And they say, yeah, no kidding. Okay, good. Skip down to verse 21. He recounts it. They say, we'll do it. He says, you sure you'll do it? Yes, we'll do it. Okay, verse 21. And the people said, Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, yes, we're witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us. For it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. And it shall be, therefore, a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart. Joshua goes on. He dies. They bury him. Verse 31, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. And that is a good testament. The next book, maybe it doesn't continue, but at least through the days of Joshua and then the people that were around in those days, the people that kept alive the reminders, that kept alive remembering what God did for them, they were doing right. And God says they did well as long as they remembered. So let's pray. Father, I want to be like that generation that stayed true to you. And like Joshua said, I want that for my family too. And I want to pass this on generationally. And I want to be intentional about that for my family and myself personally. And anybody that is within the influence of me and my family, I'd love to spread that that desire to serve you to others as well. I think that's what we're here to do as Christians, is not just to be here for ourselves, but even spread that love to others and the joy of serving you to others and the faithfulness. God, help us all in that as we're striving to keep our families in that way, and help us put things in place in our lives that will help us in those ways. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. We took the teens yesterday to Newport Beach, and they had a youth rally, and they always have a theme, and their theme yesterday was upward and outward, and I was just reflecting on that. We have our preaching rally that we host. Several hundred teens come to that, and we do ours in February. That church does theirs in September every year, and there's always a theme, and I was thinking back to the theme called Timeless that we did, I think it was way back in 2013, maybe 2012, several years ago now, but it was just this focus on Joshua. Excuse me, and his life, and it was this idea that we want to be timeless, we want to be anchored to what we know God has revealed to us in the past, and we want to stand by the stuff that God revealed to us in the future. And the preaching rally, there was decorations all over here, and there was a backdrop that Renee painted, and we had this huge backdrop, and we had the Donna Leibel came in and built these huge rocks that we had set up. And the story came from Joshua chapter 4, where they were entering the promised land, and while they were crossing the Jordan River, it was piling up and heaping up a few miles down the road, and the children of Israel are crossing the river on dry ground, and from the middle of the river, they had a representative from each tribe pick up a rock out of the middle of the river and carry it over to the side, and there was this heap of 12 stones, and those 12 stones stood as a monument. And they said, when your kids ask you, what are those 12 stones about? Then they said, well, you teach them that God brought us over this Jordan River and gave us this beautiful land. Isn't this wonderful? And the whole preaching rally was about setting up those stones in our life as a monument and looking back on them and remembering what God has done for you. That was all the way back in Joshua chapter 4. Well, this is a new account near the end now of Joshua's life, and he's doing basically the same thing where he's saying, look, I'm setting up a monument again. I'm reminding you of some of the things that you know already, and perhaps even over the lifetime of Joshua, Israel had forgotten some of these things. So now as an old man, he's coming to them once again and gathering the tribes to him. And he's saying, I've been your leader in a sense. I've been commissioned by God to lead you into this people and to set up the 12 tribes here. And I've been commissioned by God to do this. But I want you to remember the most important thing. My last words to you as the leaders of your tribes and as the elders and as the representatives, I don't want you to take it for granted. And so he reminds them all over of some of the same things they've heard. And he says, remember Abraham? Yeah, we remember Abraham, Joshua. Well, let me tell you about him again. How that God promised Abraham a seed that was gonna last through all generations. And remember that? Yes, we remember that. And do you remember the Egyptian army? Yeah, we remember that. We've heard the story. We weren't there, but we remember the stories. How that God brought destruction to the Egyptian army and saved them? Yes, we remember that. Remember Balaam? how he turned on God. You ought not to be like that. Remember when you first came into this new land of Canaan and you defeated Jericho. It wasn't you that defeated Jericho. God said, I was the one that gave you the victory. You remember that? Yeah, we remember that. He said, I gave you lands that you didn't work for. I gave you vineyards that you didn't plant. I gave you olivyards that you never had to create from the ground up. Think back on your life. And for 13 verses, he says, just think about it. This is what you have now as my people, my chosen people, not because of what you did, but because of who I am, God says. I've chosen to be good to you, and think back on your life. This is all from God. No, we pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. He says, no, this is you need to recognize that this is from God. And if we really think about what we have from God, then we'll respond the same way Joshua wanted them. Look at verse 14. So the first 13 verses are the history lesson. Our Psalms series on Sunday nights has been about sort of a history lesson of trusting in God for his goodness to us. Now Joshua's doing the same thing. Verse 14, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth and put away the gods. So serve the Lord. Man, that's such a simple command. But isn't that such a hard thing to actually do? Because it's like, yeah, we know all the history. We know that God is good to us. We know that God has helped us. We know God's kind. We know all the attributes of God. And we kind of have this head knowledge of God, but Joshua just brings it home and he makes it real. And he says, okay, fear the Lord. Yeah, man, I know what God's done for me, but he's so far out of my thoughts, sometimes it just takes a reminder every now and then. And I need to think about these things every now and then. And I need to be confronted with how good my life is. Man, yesterday I'm calling it a preaching rally. No, we have a preaching rally. They had a youth rally. Okay. At the youth rally, we went to the youth rally in Newport Beach. One of the services was all about, man, just think about how good you have it that you could have been born at any other time, in any other location, any other time period even. The fact that we're sucking air, the fact that our hearts are beating, the fact that we're alive, that's a gift from God. And he was reminding the teenagers to not just take life for granted, not just take their church for granted, not take a youth rally for granted, not take their parents for granted, not take their health and their youth and their strength and their energy, not take the word of God, not take their pastor, not take their youth pastor, their church for granted, but stop and think about, God has been so good to me. And not only that, think about all the things that didn't happen to you, that could have happened to you. Think of all the bad things that could have happened to you that didn't, that God spared you from. And many of you have had close calls in your life. And just think back to the close calls and maybe those times that shook you up in your life. And in a sense, he's saying, man, don't just go through life thinking it's all about you. Realize that God is intertwined in everything in your life. So fear the Lord and serve him. That's what he says in 14. Fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth and put away the gods. Serve the God is what he's saying. And if it seem evil to you, if you don't agree with that, verse 15, it seems like it would like break up your life. It says, forget about your life. Make the choice, verse 15. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. God's not going to make the choice for you. It says, choose you this day whom you will serve. You make the individual choice who you're going to serve. And whether the gods of the fathers, of your fathers, that your fathers served were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, verse 15, in whose land ye dwell, you can serve them. That's your choice. But as for me and my house, this Joshua, this leader, this man of God, he just says, whether you decide that or not, whether all of Israel goes toward the other gods or not, I'm going to make a choice. I'm going to make a personal choice, and I'm going to make a choice for my family. As for me and my house, you know what? We're going to serve the Lord. I fear the Lord. I recognize who he is and what he's done in my life, and I'm thankful to God for that. And because of that, I want to serve God with my life and with my family's life. And man, you see that on plaques when you're going door knocking. You see people's door knockers might have that verse on it. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's such a blessing. I think that's such a great testimony for a family to say, for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And they all agreed. Man, as a congregation, they said, Joshua, we're with you. We're there. We agree with what you're saying. And we remember the gods. And we don't want to serve those other gods. We want to serve the God. They bought into it. Man, they got it. And at the end of his life, he's going out strong because everybody's on board with him. And they're excited with him. And they say, we are going to serve God. We're with you. And Joshua reaffirms that with them. And he repeats their decisions. And then here's how he affirms that in their life. 22. He says, ye are witnesses. Joshua said to the people, well, ye are witnesses against yourselves. Because you heard yourself say it. You agreed to this. You agreed to let God be the controller of your life. And you'll fear him and serve him. That you have chosen you, the Lord, and to serve him. And they said, yes, 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 we are witnesses. Verse 22. Remember this. The people said, Joshua, the Lord our God will serve, his voice will obey. So, verse 25, Joshua made a covenant with the people that day. He says, all right, let's set this in stone. Let's affirm this in you. Let's strengthen this in you. We'll make this covenant and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And here's kind of how he did that. Verse 26, Joshua wrote the words in the book of the law of God. All right, I'm going to write it down. I'm going to write down your testimony, and we'll mark the date here. We'll mark the date. This is when you said, we will follow God. We will serve God. This is the date I said. I'm going to do this, and it's going to get real to me. I'm going to serve God in truth and sincerity. So he wrote the words in the book of the law, and he took something tangible. He took something physical. He took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. So he recorded it, wrote it down for the rest of time, and then he takes this giant stone. I don't know how big the stone was, but I imagine it was this big boulder that it took several people to move, and moved it up under an oak tree. And was like, how did that get there? That's not natural. It's not like the roots are growing around this rock. It was obviously placed there. There's something unnatural about it being there. So why is that rock there? And what he's saying is, I'm setting up this rock as a statute, as an ordinance, as a reminder, as like a statue that says, that statue represents something to me. This represents something to all of us, and it's going to be a witness to you. That's what he says in the end of verse 27. It shall therefore be a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. It was something that they could see in their life, that if they denied God, they could look back on that unnaturally placed rock right by the sanctuary, right by this meeting place, and go, man, I remember when I was a kid. I remember when my dad brought my family here that day, and we said we were going to serve God, and we're not really serving God right now. You know, I need to get back to him. I need to get back to that place. It was so real to me then, and we said we were going to do it. I should be a person of my word. I should stand by what I said I was going to do. And be, and I should, you know, that rock, it's just a rock, and it's just this, it's not like it's a god or anything, it's just something to help me remember it. That's all it is. It's nothing, they don't worship the rock, it's just a rock sitting there. And all it was this glaring reminder of the decisions they had made back in their family's lives back then, saying, we are going to serve the Lord, and I'm not turning my back. Joshua said, you promise? We promise. You're not going to turn your back? No, we're not going to turn our backs on God. We will serve the Lord. He says, all right, this rock, it's going to be a witness for that. It's going to hold you to it. This rock is going to be, every time you look at this rock, I want you to train your kids saying, this is when we said we're going to serve the Lord, and this is the time that you said. So they depart, and they go home, and praise God. The end of Joshua ends well. It ends okay. And as long as Joshua was alive, and as long as the people that were around him were alive and were remembering what that rock represented and training their families, it was a good time. It was a monument to them. And they simply said, this is not a time to chase new gods. This is not a time to chase new fads or new ideas out there, as if there's something better than serving God. This is a time where we said, there's nothing better than serving God. There's nothing new that's gonna outdo the ancient God, like the God that dates all the way back to Abraham. That's kind of what they were saying. this God that is a timeless God, that even though Abraham lived in a different culture than we live in today, they're saying we're still anchoring to Abraham's God. And we're still anchoring to the same God that has been faithful for generations and destroyed the Egyptians and overcame Balaam, overcame the offenses. And the same God that brought Israel up to this point is the same God we want to serve for the rest of our family's life. And it was like, we're anchoring to this, and whatever new gods come our way, we're not even going that way. Man, I love that. I love that intentionality. I love that. I love that desire to just say, I want to, first of all, just remember what God has done in my life. I want to remember the goodness of God in my life. And then the second thing, as for me, yeah, I want to serve the Lord. I want to fear God. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Joshua said, I'm taking the lead on this, and I'm going to not just teach myself, but I want to teach my family. I want to show my family what this rock represents, what this ordinance represents. And man, sometimes we can get so wrapped up in our own spiritual walk, but we forget that second part of bringing our families along too. Where Joshua said, As for me, I will serve the Lord. But it wasn't just a personal decision. He realized his decisions spread beyond himself as well. And he was making a decision as a father, as a leader of his home that he realized was affecting something far bigger than himself. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Man, I'm really good at thinking about myself. And I'm really good at just planning things for myself. But I get so bad at thinking through things beyond, you know, just today. And thinking about placing anchors in my family's life. And thinking about the big picture of what are my kids going to be like when they're 25 and 30. And I'm just trying to get through kindergarten with Abe now, you know. I'm just getting through the day to day, and my wife even more so than me. In that it's like, man, we're just struggling through our diaper phase right now. We're trying to get through this, man, and it's a struggle, you know. And so every single Monday, I wake up, my wife looks at me and goes, "What do you got planned for today?" I go, I feel like I should be the most intentional dad in the universe, you know? I should have these days planned out where, you know, this is going to unify my family, and we're going to be a spiritual family today, and my kids are going to look back on today, this Monday, my day off, and we're going to have family day, and it's going to shape my family. Someday when they're 20, they're going to look back on today and be like, "I remember that one day that you took off work and we were together as a family and we did this." You know, I've got all these things running through my brain. I'm thinking, oh, what can we do that's going to have generational impact on my kids today? What is it going to be? And you know, what do you got planned today? And I'm thinking through all these things. What's Abe going to think when he's 30 years old thinking about today? And all that comes out is, I don't know. I got nothing, man. I haven't even had my coffee yet, Jamie. Come on now. I was sleeping in a little bit. What am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to plan? You know, what am I supposed to think? What you know, no major ingenious plan comes to mind in the 3 seconds after you get asked, "What do you got planned today?" You know, and I feel like I should though, but I should. In many senses, there's only a short time period of my kid's life that maybe I do need some more intentionality to what I'm doing. Because it seems to indicate a level of seriousness here that Joshua is saying, look, there's these moments in your life, and maybe it's not every single Monday, but maybe it's times like a church service, or it's a men's conference, or it's a camp for the young people. It's a moment in your life where you realize, I need to start, man, if I don't start now, if I don't start at some point becoming intentional about my spiritual growth and about my family's spiritual growth, then when will it start? When my kids are 18 and rebelling and turning against me? Am I gonna have all kinds of regrets? Or what can I build into my life right now, that's going to make my decisions intentional? Because I think that's what Joshua did. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I fear the Lord. And we will. I'm going to be intentional about it. I'm promising you, serve the Lord. But not just intentional, not just making plans for what your kids are going to be when they graduate high school and what jobs they're going to have and career path that you want to put them on and saving up for retirement. I'm not talking just financial goals and education goals for them. But man, Joshua's main goal for himself and for his family was, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So it's intentional, but it's spiritual. The intentional spiritual development, and then that development aspect, we will is future tense. It's not just we have served the Lord. As for me and my house, we have served the Lord. No. But he's looking ahead. And he's looking, saying, for myself going forward, even though I'm an old man, I'm still going to continue leading my family along in the right path. And we will serve the Lord. I'm making this a moment. I'm making this a time, and I'm going to keep on trucking forward. And this is going to be what I do with my family. I'm intentional. I'm going to be spiritual about it. And I'm going to be generational about it. I want to think generationally. You know, our church is not an overly program-driven church. And that's intentional. I know several churches that have something going on, I mean, every single night of the week. And we don't want that because we believe primarily the influence is not going to come through the church. The influence of your children, the influence of your home is going to come through the family. It's going to come through mom and dad doing what they're doing, for better or for worse. The influence is not going to primarily come through an hour service or an hour Wednesday night program or something like that. It's going to be through the hours and hours and hours that they spend with you as a family, what you do as a family and who you are and how you interact with each other. We just view the family as it seems like God's primary vessel of influence. I don't think God removed the family when he got to the New Testament and introduced the church. I think he just kind of enhanced it as a family of families. It's a family, it's a body and all that. But I think God still has a focus for our families. And so the focus tonight is less on the you need to serve God with your life, but more on the, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We want me and my house as a family direction, we want to serve the Lord. And you know who that's primarily going to come through is dads. That's not a sexist statement to say that moms have no influence or that kids are not important. That's absolutely not true. But the way that God leads, the way that God deals is through the dads. And that's not a statement about myself, from myself. That's a Bible statement. And every change that he led in Scripture was led through a man, and every form of responsibility, all of it is placed on the dads. All of it is placed on the spiritual leadership of the home. There is the personal aspect of every one of us saying individually, I will serve the Lord. As for me, I will serve the Lord. I choose to. That can go from kids all the way up to moms and dads. That includes everybody, but it's like God has his bullseye set on dads, right on the hearts of dads. And he's saying, I'm looking at you to lead your family. I'm looking at you to influence your family generationally. I think that's the goal. As for me and my family, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Man, so you know, as dads, the impact might not come through a one day, okay, Monday's my day off, I've got to really impact them today, and this will last for the rest of their life. That may not, it may happen on a particular trip you're on, a particular activity you do, particular conversation you have, but I don't think it's going to be these one-time events that they'll remember. I think it'll just be saying, you know what, I'm going to make a point right now as a dad, as a mom and a dad, we can expand this to moms and dads too, but I'm just saying I'm going to make it a point right now. At this time in my life, when my kids are 5, or when my kids are 7, or when my kids are teenagers, I only have a couple more years with them. And from now on, I've made some mistakes in the past, but from now on, I'm going to move forward and I'm going to ignore the gods of this world, and I want to make some changes in my family that are going to like turn my family into like becoming something that serves God. Because that seems to be what's important to God. And yeah, I'm all for education, I'm all for sports, and I'm all for that. I'm going to do all that kind of stuff with my kids. But if that's the only focus and we miss the, as for me in my house, we will serve the Lord, like the Lord aspect, then you're missing it. And I'll miss it. I will miss it. And there'll be areas in my life that I'm going to miss it. But man, I need times in my life where a preacher opens the Bible and makes the most important thing highlighted to my life and causes me to get some blinders off my life. And am I focusing too much on the things that won't matter? And should I really be focusing on the things that'll last for eternity? I need somebody to be in my life saying, you know what? You need to make your family a spiritual environment. And for kids, little kids, it might be something as simple as the monument in my life, the moment in my life that I'm pointing back to, that thing that I can say that I said, that's when I said I want to start serving God and raising my family right. Maybe for little kids, it's something like this, this purposeful parenting seminar. We had this, Brother Troy Durrell, a pastor out in Oklahoma, came out here, did our couples retreat a few years ago. Along with that, he did a parenting seminar. He put those all on audio here. I don't think they're DVD, but a little booklet that goes along with that. And you say, I'm struggling with my kids, and I'm not really sure how to make my home a spiritual environment. All we have is screaming, and all we have is complaining, and all we have are these issues and fighting, and I'm not really sure what to do. Something like this may be this monument in your life where you say, I'm going to finally get serious about this, and I want some resources. Pastor, what do you got that can help me with my family? Then we'll point to things like this, resources like this, that will say, this is the moment that I started getting intentional about leading my kids, about leading my little kids. There's a book that Ironwood puts out called Parenting Detours. There's another one by Walt Brock, the same author, the founder of the Camp Ironwood, that talks about just practical things about the Bible, how to love your kids and how to lovingly discipline your kids and how to lovingly spank your children and the Bible definitions of what spanking is and what discipline is and what instruction is and how to train your children. And maybe you think, man, my life is out of control. I'm not sure what I want to do. Maybe a moment like this is when you say, you know what? That book is a monument on my life. And I said after reading that book that I wanted to turn my family around, and that's what helped me. That's the preaching service. That's the book. That's the seminar I listened to or went to. That's the thing that caused me to change some things in my family that I said, that is what I need in my life, and I need to keep remembering that. Maybe God is bringing some of those times into your life where he says the most important thing is your spiritual walk with your family. So what are you doing to enhance that? Maybe that's with little kids. Those are a couple resources. There's a resource, a book that I've given out more than any other book called Passionate Parenting. And Dr. Andrade's always, I have a stash of these up in my office. He's always buying these books from me and giving these out as well. This is by Carrie Schmidt. This is mostly for parenting of teenagers. You say, I'm past the spanking phase. You know, my 17-year-old isn't really getting it anymore, you know. And so what can I do? What can I do differently? I would encourage you to put some monuments in your life to say, I need to make some changes. I need to start serving God. I need some tools to help me. I need something that's going to guide me and direct me. Something like a book called Passionate Parenting will step you through the heart of your teenager and understand what they're going through and encourage you to talk with them and spend time with them and get to know their heart and pray with them. Man, that's one of the highlight chapters, in my opinion, of this whole book, is just spending time praying with your teenager. And a book like this that encourages you to get close to your family and to be a parent who's parenting on purpose and not just on default, but a passionate parent who's willing to take some stands and stick by that. Man, I'm talking about maybe this book is a monument in your life where you read that and you say, I made some changes. I got through the entire thing. And that in itself is an accomplishment. It's been a long time since I've read a book. And it helped me in these ways, and this is what I need to do differently now in my life. And every time you see this book on your shelf, you go, man, I'm starting to slip. I said after reading that I was going to do this, but you know, maybe this is a coffee table book. And you say that maybe this is a family devotions kind of book. And you say, this is the thing that every time I see this book, I want to come back to what I know God instructed me to do. And this is the time that God spoke to me about training and about getting close to God. Man, God just wants you to set up monuments in your life because we all need it. Man, we're all human. We're humans just like they were humans, and they needed that physical reminder in their life. And Joshua said, I'm pointing you back to this. You remember that? Yeah, we remember that. Well, then let's keep on remembering that. And let's set up this rock, and every time you look at this rock, it'll draw you back to that personal decision you made. As for me and my house will serve the Lord. You need some monuments in your life. Maybe a monument is for a personal decision, and maybe a monument is something as simple as, man, I want to serve God. This isn't just a parenting sermon. This is for young people too. This is a monument that you say, this is when God spoke to me about reading my Bible. So maybe my monument is my alarm clock. You know, every time I see my alarm clock, I'm going to set it on repeat every day. It goes off at the same time, and I'm going to spend time reading my Bible in the morning, or I'm going to set my alarm for the evening time, not to wake me up, but to remind me, to trigger me, to read my Bible at this time every time my alarm goes off. And that's a monument. That's something I've set up in my life to help me remember God, to help me focus on God. It could be an alarm clock. It could be a schedule. Your calendar on your phone can be a monument in that sense that we're talking about, a physical reminder to think on God. My breakfast times are going to be my monument with my family. We're going to read the scripture. Our dinner times are going to be a family gathering, and not, kids aren't just going to take their food off to their room and eat on their own or be gone for this and that, but we're going to gather together as a family, and this is going to be our monument time. Whatever it is for you, I don't know what your family looks like, but maybe you need to set some things up in your life and have some monuments in your life, have some moments where you say, this is what we're going to do. Our testimony times in church are sometimes those times where you say, I'm not really sure about this decision. I'm hoping I didn't make it just in an emotional time in my life, but you know what? Maybe I just need to tell everybody about this to help me keep accountable. And I've got a bunch of people now that heard me say, I'm going to do this. And we have camp testimony times. We have testimony times for church. And maybe that's your monument. Maybe that's the time you point to and said, I said I was going to do that. And everybody heard me say that. I got baptized, or I said that testimony in church, or whatever it was, you say, that's my monument. And I want to live up to my word. When I said I was going to do that, I want to keep up on that. And I want to keep faithful to what I said I was going to do. And so maybe you need to set up monuments. So as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. I want my kids to be servants. So what are you going to do to bring them along and train them to be servants? How are you going to help them serve? What if it's something as simple as saying, look, if I want to lead my family to be servants, you know what I've been thinking about? All those trees out there, all the leaves are going to be coming down. And man, when that happens, fall time comes around, they're already starting to fall out of there. Man, what if we had even just something as simple as a rotation of cleaning up leaves? A different family comes every single week and say, this will be my week. If I want my family to serve, I don't want to just say, we will serve the Lord. But where can I serve? Can we pick up those leaves once a month, or, you know, over the next few weeks, I want to bring my family out. And this is how we want to serve. I want to train my kids up to be servants. Maybe it's something as simple as picking up leaves and being an encouragement in that way. I'm talking about simple things. Make it real. Fear God and serve Him. I want my kids to love other people. I want my kids to serve. I want my kids to be involved at church. All kinds of things. I'm just... You've seen the good success stories and the failures as well. People that made statements that they wanted to do and never did anything to follow up on that, never followed through. And man, that's a shame to see, because it's like, but you said, I heard you say, I had conversations with you. Don't go back on that now. It was so much better for you. God was blessing your family. God was helping you. God was being so good to you. And you remember the goodness of God? Do you remember that? And if you have conversations with those people, they'll go, yeah, I do remember that. Those were good times. I don't know what I'm doing now. And if they can turn their lives around, then it's wonderful. It's precious. It's sweet. Need some monuments in your life, though, to help you in that one. A couple more monuments. Time. Simple time. Time together as a family. Maybe vacations, maybe a little less TV, maybe a little less man cave time and a little more family time. Just spend some time together to influence your family spiritually. Prayer. Prayer. I said that passionate parenting book. There was a guy in our church in Stillwater that was struck by lightning and died. At his funeral, his family all said, you know what Dad would do? He would pray out loud. And when the kids would walk into the room, the kids would say, as soon as I walked into the room, Dad was there praying out loud at the kitchen table. He'd start praying for me. Talk about awkward, man. We're running from God and we're turning from God and he's there calling out our sins to God, you know? And he's praying out loud to God. Man, I'm talking about just praying with your kids. Having times of prayer for yourself and for your family. My wife gives the testimony that there was a time in high school where she was starting to stray from God and just making dumb decisions. She went back later to her dad and said, what did you do? You know, I love the Lord now and I got my life turned around, but man, through freshman year, sophomore year, junior, you know, just making some dumb decisions, what did you do? It's not like you ever had these long conversations. It wasn't like I was in trouble all the time. What did you do? He gave one word answer. We prayed. We prayed. We prayed and we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And we were just consistent with what we were supposed to do. And that's all we could do, man. We just parented and prayed. So pray for your family. Pray for your kids. Church. Let church be a monument in your life. I appreciated Pastor Delaney yesterday. Saying, I made a monument, basically. He was saying, I made a monument in my life. Every time the doors are open, I'm going to be there. And he goes, well, I'm the pastor. I have to be. But man, that would be a great monument to say, you know, it's not just the one crazy pastor that's saying that all the time. But, man, it's other people that say, every time the doors are open, I'm there, no matter what, you know. Soccer never got in my family's way. The sports never got in our way. And there was never even a question, not even a question. I'm not trying to be legalistic about that. I'm just saying there needs to be some spiritual monuments that says this is the thing that's most important to my family. And it seems like the church is most important to God in the New Testament especially. And so forsake not the assembling. So church, consistency. It's probably the hardest part because our families see the worst in us. But staying consistent to what you know God has called you to, and constantly anchoring yourself to that rock, constantly coming back to God. Consistency. It's what I saw in my family, and not that they were perfect parents, but they were consistent parents. In verse number 14, Joshua calls them to serve the Lord in sincerity and truth. And that's what Paul said, the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Man, just be real. Just be real. Just be let your life be real. And set up some things in your life that'll help you remember. Working on a kid's book right now. My sister-in-law, Anna, is illustrating it. And what I'm doing right now at this very moment is building a monument and saying it's not done yet, but by November 1st, we're going to have this done. Now, if I don't complete this book by November 1st, it's a Christmas book that's coming out, illustrated Christmas book. If I don't complete this book now by November 1st, I'll look like such a fool. I mean, I'll look like a fool times 200. You know, how many people are in here? I don't know. But what I'm doing is saying, look, I'm testifying. I'm testifying that this is my goal. This is what I want to do. This is like a commitment. This is like a contract. It's not really a covenant. I don't want you to hold me to it that strong. But this is a commitment. This is what I'm saying I'm going to be doing. And if I fail in that, then it's like, well, I told everybody. I'm not a man of my word. That kind of feeling, that kind of strength. And Joshua is just calling back to us and saying, set up some things in your life that even when your self-control or your self-discipline or your self-will kind of starts to wane a little bit. You need some things in your life that'll keep drawing you back to God. Keep drawing you back to God. Because we're humans, man. We slip. We always need that. And so he's saying, make something public. Make something public about your walk with God. Let's get serious about the truth. Stand if you would, please. We're going to sing a song that kind of goes along with that for our invitation.